Joshua chapter 3, we're going to read one verse, and then we'll get into the message this evening. Now, when we get this metal roof, we're looking at a cedar shake design. That'd be nice, won't it? Yeah. And as Joe recommended, a dark brown would really look nice. All right. Okay. He wants white. That would look real nice, wouldn't it?
He said cedar shake. I didn't know you were going to do cedar shake.
Well, so that changes everything.
Okay. Well, anyways, Joshua chapter 3, let's read verse 4 together. We'll pray and move on. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, all together. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for New Year's Eve and all the expectations for the coming new year. I pray you bless us. You give us ears to hear. Help us, dear God, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, I do realize that this verse has to do with Israel. And when it's talking about the space between you and it, it's talking about the ark. But Israel has left 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and now they're about to begin a new life in the promised land. Yet in this verse, there's an 8-word phrase that is quite appropriate for this time of year, and it reads, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Now, in just less than 6 hours, the year 2026 will be upon us, unless the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and we rise to meet him in the air with glorified bodies to ever be with him. And my, what a wonderful end to 2025 that would be. For some, the past year hasn't been a banner one. Some are plagued with medical issues. Others have received bad news from the doctors. Some have had loved ones die. Others have seen longtime friends move away. And some have been awfully disappointed in their children or spouse. And you can't wait to say goodbye to the previous year and hello to the year 2026. Now, the new year always brings with it the hope of a better things to come. Optimism seems to run high, even though we haven't passed this way heretofore. In this new year, there will still be challenges that we have to face, trials that we will have to overcome, spiritual ground to be gained, and victories to be won. Some may look back on 2025 with great joy. Some got saved. Some found a church home here. Some got married. Some won people to the Lord, had prayers answered, and business for them is picked up, and they hope for much more the same in 2026. No matter if 2025 was one you considered grim or filled to the brim, it will soon be history. Yet we all stand on the threshold of a brand new year, and it means a fresh start for all of us. And if we are to make the most of it, let's not carry any sin we are guilty of into the next year. Let us apply the Christian bar of soap to those sins, confess them, for our Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps you're not guilty of some open sin, but you're guilty of being unfaithful. You could have been more faithful to the Lord this past year. You could have been more loyal to the Savior. You could have been more faithful to reading his word, to communing with him in prayer, to his church, to giving, or to going forth with the gospel. It's quite shameful that we neglect and become unfaithful in things that really matter and benefit us in so many ways. Maybe you have a wrong spirit toward others. This type of sin plagues many a believer. It's quite common amongst the saints. I'm talking about the green-eyed monster of jealousy, being unforgiving, covetous, maybe pride got a hold of you, or maybe you're even bitter about something. One should not go into the new year with any spirit and with anything that brings, with any bad sin and any bad spirit that brings distance between their soul and the Savior. It would do us all good to repent and change our mind about any and all sin we are guilty of, and then enter the year 2026 without any record still being held against us from 2025 and our record be wiped clean. Yes, it's time to repent, but it's also a time to remember. We ought to remember the blessings bestowed upon us. After all, the whole entire year hasn't been all bad, has it? Have we not found His grace to be sufficient? His mercy's new every morning? His comfort effectual? Has He not been better to us than we deserve? Has any of His promises failed us? So is it not true that all things work together for good to them that love God? Remember, make the most of those trials, for they are the means whereby God blesses His people in so many areas. Then remember, this could be your last year. So make the best of it. Jesus told them of a man that planted a fig tree. He dug about it. He fertilized it. And he had it cared for. He expected fruit from the tree, but year after year it was barren. Finally he said to the keeper, "Cut it down. It does nothing but cumber the ground." The keeper interceded and said, "Give the tree another chance. Give it one more year. And if it doesn't bear fruit, we will cut it down." Maybe you're like the tree. God has watched over you. He's cared for you. He's blessed you over the years. Yet ye are neither faithful nor fruitful. And this may be your last year that you can make it count for Christ. But should not all of us redeem the time and make the most of it for our Savior? 'Tis certain at this time of year we should repent. We should remember. And then how about making some resolutions? You know, believers in both the Old and New Testament did so. Did not Joshua resolve to serve the Lord with his family? Did not Daniel resolve not to defile himself with the king's meat? And did not Jacob resolve to bring his tithe unto the Lord? And David made two resolutions. He first resolved to read his Bible and adopt it as the standard by which to live by. It is written in Psalm 119, 33 and 34. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Then we read of David's resolution to pray in Psalm 116, verse 2. And he writes here, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." Paul resolved to win souls. And he tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 22. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. There will be many this year who are resolved to lose weight, to go to the gym, work out, eat better. Determine that this will be the year they'll do something they've been wanting to do for a long time. Well, how about making some spiritual resolutions, such as reading your Bible through this year, spending time in your prayer closet every day, getting around to witnessing to that friend or family member, being in church for all of its services and supporting it as you should. Resolve this year that you'll be more obedient and more godly, that you will be spirit-filled. Your light will shine more brightly. You'll be more salty, and that you'll be a gospel worth reading. With so many vowing new things for themselves, amid society's ever-changing norms, and churches compromising to the ever-evolving culture, I want to make an announcement that when I see you next year, this coming Sunday, I will still have in my hands the same Bible. We live in a time when many are saying the Bible of yesteryear that God gave to holy men of old to pen down is no longer the one needed for today. Well, since the living word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the written word, there is a oneness with the living word, it too is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have an exact copy of what God has spoken to us in the King James Bible. Since we believe in verbal inspiration of the Word of God, and we are fully persuaded that He has given us exactly what He meant for us to have, we are just as certain it is as adequate for us today as it was when it was first settled in heaven and will be so forevermore. All parts of the Bible are as equally vital as every other part. And every word of the Bible is truly the written voice of God. We as believers should be familiar with every book, every chapter of this divine library, for all of it helps us to be the complete Christians God would have us be. We do not need a newer, more up-to-date version, one that is supposedly easier to read and has replaced so-called archaic words, or one that is condensed and has removed what some believe are lesser important scriptures, or they just can't be found in those corrupt manuscripts they have used in their mistranslation work. We don't need some mutilated Bible, some revision, some phony posing as the real thing coming from some so-called scholars or theologians who are all too willing to correct what thus saith the Lord and give us what they think the Lord meant for him to say. We have in our King James Bible what the Lord said and what he meant to say. Now Jesus made this promise in Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we read this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Then in Isaiah 40, verse 8, it is written, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. God not only breathed these words in the scriptures, but he preserved them as well. And since he is God, he can and did give us an exact rendering of his words in English right here in our King James Bible. When those men came to arrest Jesus and bring him back to the chief priests and Pharisees, And when they came back empty-handed, they were asked, why have you not brought him? And they answered, never man spake like this man. Could not the same be said about the King James Bible? No other so-called Bible speaks to us like this one right here. It is powerful. It is pure. It is unassailable. And its perpetuity is guaranteed. It does not need to be rewritten. Just reread. It does not need to be revised. Just reread. And it does not need to be readjusted. It just needs to be reread. In spite of all the criticism hurled at this precious book, we all would do well to commit ourselves to it. Judge all things in the light of it and live in happy obedience to it. Despite a new year coming upon us tomorrow, I can assure you, come Sunday, we here at Faith Baptist Church will still be standing on the King James Bible, for it has been God's word yesterday, it is God's word today, and it'll be God's word forever. Yeah. Number two, when I see you next year, I'll have the same doctrine. I mean, my messages will remain the same. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about we were created and we are not evolved. Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. He's the one who was prophesied to come throughout the Old Testament. Salvation is received by God's grace when we put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. The local church is God's idea and is to be faithfully attended and supported. The Christian life is one of holiness, one of godliness. And let me tell you, Jesus is coming again. Heaven is real. It's a home of the saved. Hell is hot, and it's where unbelievers go. The world and the flesh and the devil are our enemies, and we must die to self, and we must be spirit-filled. God is a triune being. Eternal life is a present possession, and we are to set our affections on things above and not on the things of this world. I will not stand where I have stood for, I will stand where I have stood, for my doctrine has not changed, for I have been firmly planted in the unchanging Word of God. Number three, when I see you next year, I'll still have the same convictions. Those convictions come straight out of the Scriptures. I have been and will continue to be strongly opposed to alcohol, abortion, drugs, all sex outside of the marriage, and marriage is between a man and a woman. I will stand against same-sex relationships. Anything more than two genders, and those two genders are male and female. I will continue to believe that all men can be saved and never to be condemned once they are. I, therefore, reject any and every aspect of Calvinism, every bit of that tulip doctrine, which is nothing more than a deadly flower. I reject ecumenical practices, and I refuse to be unequally yoked with others who are not of like faith and practice. I believe a man is to look like a man. He is to act like a man. He is to talk like a man. He is to walk like a man. He is to be the head of the home, its spiritual leader, its provider. He is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. A woman is to act like a lady, dress like a lady, walk like a lady. They are to obey and honor their husbands, and children are to obey the first time they're spoken to and do so with the right attitude. I'm for capital punishment. I'm against this green nonsense and this climate change and anything else that is opposed to what is found in the pages of this holy book. Oh yeah, come next year. You'll find me with the same Bible. You'll find me with the same convictions and the same doctrine. And number four, I'll have the same burden. I will continue to be burdened for the people here to grow spiritually. Paul carried this burden for the saints at Colossae, and he wrote this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Then we read what he wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Any pastor that is worth his salt and loves his people longs for Christ to be formed in them and see that their lives that they live are pleasing to the Lord. I will still be burdened to see this church grow numerically. I would love to see this place packed out every service, for it sure beats preaching to a bunch of empty seats. Well, I have this same burden year after year and all year through. I'm not willing to compromise or do whatever it takes to make it happen. Years ago, a visitor came and he heard me preach. And when he was leaving, he told me this. He said, "You know what? You're a pretty good speaker." He says, "Matter of fact, you could be running 200 to 300 in no time if you would just stop saying some of the things that you say." I told him, therein lies my problem, because I'm not going to stop saying those things that are necessary for people to grow thereby. My task is to give you sound doctrine. My task is to build you up in the faith. I, in the new year, will continue to be burdened about the lost. We will continue to go soul winning. I will continue to promote soul winning. And we will do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission, both here in Colorado Springs and abroad, through supporting missions. We will not be content with the philosophy of us four and no more, as long as there are people out there who are lost, undone, and dead in their trespasses and sin. We need to maintain an Acts chapter 20, verse 20 vision and continue to go from house to house pointing people to Jesus. We need to go into the highways and hedges with an invitation for folks to come to Christ and fish for men in this vast sea of humanity. I have a burden as well for real, true revival. Another great awakening come to this country of ours. And that we as God's people would humble ourselves. We would pray, seek God's face, and we would turn from our wicked ways. And when believers get back to the Bible, have testimonies that shine, witnesses that are powerful, and churches that are set on fire from above. When I see you next year, I'll have the same Bible. I'll have the same doctrine. I'll have the same conviction. I also will have the same burden. And number five, I will have the same plan. What I mean by that is, I will continue to advocate that we be loyal to Jesus, come what may. That we continue to make much of our marriages, our families, be faithful in praying, reading the Bible, starting our day with the Lord, going to church regularly, living godly lives, being a blessing to others, and sharing our faith. I'm sure 2025 has been tough on some. It's been a great blessing to others. But as we enter into 2026, let us here tonight resolve to walk with the Lord, make some serious spiritual progress, keep our eyes on Jesus, stay on target, and not bend to the pressures of the times that we live in. Some of us tonight need to kick discouragement down the road. So when we wake up tomorrow, we will beam in the new year, and we will have a sunny disposition. We need to forget the past. Take advantage of a brand new year. Have a renewed hope. Reclaim that joy and rebuild the excitement. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. But know this, when you see me next year, I'll still be who I was this time a year ago and many prior to that. For I will have the same Bible, same doctrine, same convictions, same burdens, and have the same plan. Even though I may look a bit older and perhaps have grown some spiritually, there are some things in my life that will remain the same. They served me well in the past, and I believe they will continue to do so in 2026 because they are found in the Scriptures. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.